Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Mike, Ali, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Wednesday morning. We just did Which One Wednesday. We're going to get in the wake-up call here in 1 second. 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in on any of the stories of the day. Ali asked it going to break. I'd rather have John Harbaugh or Clint Kubiak. I'll go one step further. If I could promise you that John Harbaugh and Todd Monken were here, or that Clint Kubiak and Jeff Ulbrich were here, to me, that's the conversation. That's the back and forth. What do you think, Bo?
I'm taking Kubiak.
With Jeff Ulbrich?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, it sounded,
just head up?
Yeah. With Ulbrich, I mean, that's a great caveat. But I just – I love John Harbaugh. I've always – he's – of the two Harbaugh brothers, I like him the best. My thing is though, that – I want someone come in fresh. Everything Kubiak does offensively is exactly how you're already built. So you're not. I'm not trying to marry what Todd Monken wants to do. What we have here, I think it's. And it's. I just feel like why can't we go find our young, bright head coach that leads us for the next 10 to 15 years? You know, it's. To me, the Harbaugh thing is great, but somebody tweeted to me earlier this morning. They're like, "Oh, you know, you're being this, and so we want a good coach, and we shouldn't talk down to people that want a good coach." I'm not talking down to you. I'm just like, you know, we in the city sometimes I want this. I want things to be done a certain way, and I want all these things. And that's how good organizations do them, and why don't we do them that way? And then this shiny object appears, and we lose all control, and we just gravitate towards a shiny object, no matter if it's everything we've spent the last 2 years, 5 years, however long, complaining that they should have done it one way. We immediately just lose that the right way mantra that we've talked about and gravitate towards a shiny object. To me, that's what John Harbaugh represents in this. Mike, how many times have we heard about how Arthur Smith was hired before Terry Fontenot, and that was how back-asswards our organization was ran, right? And now you've got a chance to go hire the president, hire GM and coach, and do it all collectively together with the president leading the vision, and we want to completely abandon that for the shiny object, which is John Harbaugh. And look, I get it. John Harbaugh is a hell of a coach. Not knocking him in any way, but if you want things done a certain way and you think that's the right way and the way winning organizations do them, why are you going to abandon that for Harbaugh now?
Yeah,
you have this chance to reset, right?
Right. I think when you look at 18 seasons of John Harbaugh, he was coming off of, what is it, 10? Did Brian Billick have 10 with the Ravens? And he was obviously...
No, I don't think it was that because Billick... No, yeah, you might be right because Billick took over in 99.
There you go.
And he was fired after the 07 season.
So 9 seasons.
Yeah.
Is what Billick would have had. And you know, credit to him. That job that John Harbaugh stepped into, and I'm not taking anything away from John. I just am comparing it to the situation you'd be stepping into here in Atlanta. Like, how much of it did you build or how much of it did you sustain? And so I do look at it from that perspective. I think a lot of people cut and dry. John Harbaugh is the best one out there, and I get it. I think there's also people that think Kevin Stefanski is the best one because of the 2-time coach of the year. But I just have to have, offensively, I have to have somebody that can get things done with the pieces we have in place and the capital we have spent.
Well,
so,
and real quick, you made the point yesterday, and it's every once in a while you and I see things differently, but we see things a lot alike, the way we view football in general. And you'll say something, and I'll be like, I don't know if I'd agree with that. And more I've thought of it, I really think you're onto something. Do you want a guy that's going to come here and go through coordinators every 2 or 3 years because you've had success, which is really what ended up being one of the downfalls of John Harbaugh?
Yep.
Or do you want a guy that comes in like a Sean McVay? Why did Nick Saban never fail because defensively? Why did Nick Saban's teams always have great defenses?
Because he was doing what Nick Saban wanted to do.
Yeah, why has Sean McVay been a winning coach for this long?
What
happened in Detroit to Dan Campbell when Ben Johnson left?
he lost. We hired the wrong offensive coordinator.
Well, apparently, and now their offense was good, but then they also lost his DC, and so Campbell, like, he's an example of that. What, like, how many times can you go through that? Like, where, what happened? Go to the Dan Quinn. He never got the defense right, but he did get the offense. He got the defense right once. But the Dan Quinn thing. So, and I'm just saying, I think that you have a chance here to go. If I'm not dispelling the fact that I would take Harbaugh. Somebody even mentioned to me, they said, well, what if Harbaugh wants to be the GM? And I'm saying, so you're going to let John Harbaugh pick players, and he seemingly never picked players? Because, guys, again, I'm not knocking Harbaugh, but Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta have been the brain trust of that organization, just like Howie Roseman has been that in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting more food for thought, and don't get, you know, confused or distracted by the shiny object, yeah, which is Harbaugh right now.
Don't take your eye off the ball, I think, is what you're trying to say. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Dylan, let's ride. 404-726-0929. Obviously, a lot of conversation surrounding the head coaching opening, but you can call and weigh in on any of the topics we've had today so far on the show, like whether you'd like to live up the Northwest Corridor or the Northeast Corridor, like Allie has to weigh on a daily basis. Let's go out to the phone lines. Hey, let's talk to Jemiah. She's over in Marietta. Jemiah, what's going on this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to weigh in on who you guys or who we all thought should be the coach. And I say John Harbaugh should definitely be the coach. I heard your guys' conversation about the shiny object, but he is an amazing coach. He has coached multiple. Well, all I know of is Michigan. He has coached them to a championship, and I would love to see us in the playoffs.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Jemiah.
He's right. John Harbaugh is a great coach, and there's no doubt about it. I'm not dispelling that. Look, a couple years ago, I'd probably be leading the John Harbaugh train, and I'm not saying that I've fallen off of it. All I'm saying is you have reset your franchise completely with what you've done. And you have a chance to go hire some people that could be here for the next 10 to 15 years if you get it right. And I think a young offensive coach that could have their system throughout would really help this team.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Ice once again. Ice over in Newton. Ice is 2 days in a row. What's going on, boss?
Hey, man. How y'all doing this morning?
Living the dream.
Listen, I'm like my man. I love Harbaugh. I mean, he gives me the Dan Reeves kind of feel. I mean, but even at that, that's been umpteen years ago, right? So the Falcons need an identity, not just credibility. Harbaugh brings respect, but he does not bring a new offensive vision. Atlanta don't need a CEO, staff coach that delegates offense. They need somebody that builds it. And Clint Kubiak, has a modern offensive mind, scheme-driven, not personally driven. He brings a clear system day one. So, yeah, to your point, he can grow with the young core. He understands. He's innovative. You know, I love Harbaugh, but it won't be the same. You'll be getting more of what you got, more of delegating. He'll be more head coach and not building offense.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone.
Yeah, thank you, Ice. I wrote that down, Allie. Identity, not credibility.
Yeah.
A lot of weight to be put on that.
Yeah, and the thing about John Harbaugh with having 18 seasons under his belt, he's from a well-oiled machine.
Right.
We got a startup.
Right.
So
exact question I was asking a minute ago. That's why I brought up Brian Billick, because I was like, Brian Billick already had that thing rolling when John stepped into that, and he'd credit him for sustaining it, but I don't know that that's the same situation what we got here.
As good as Harbaugh is good with doing what he is, but the thing is Ozzie Newsome was the guy. Ozzie Newsome picked those. He is the guy that got that rolling.
Yeah, I agree.
Billick did it. And then Ozzie Newsome trained. I'm pretty sure DaCosta was there with him for years and let him in. And then they continued it. Like, they're good because of the draft. Look at the players they've drafted.
Insane.
Especially
go back to Brian Billick's time.
And look at, and I'll give this, the organization, look at all the coordinators that Harbaugh is going to do. Some have left and some have been fired.
Yeah. And honestly, credit them for the Lamar Jackson situation at quarterback, too. You have to give him credit for that, because that was some, a lot of teams were out on him as a quarterback, mm-hmm. and he drafted him and had the confidence to try to turn him into that. Let's try to get a couple more fitted in here. Let's go to Johnny. He's over in Jonesboro. Johnny, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's up, y'all?
Living the dream, man. What's going on with you?
Same with you. I was just calling in. I'm the same with Bo a little bit, too. Like, I'm a huge John Harbaugh fan, especially throughout the years. But if you ask me, I want a young, hungry, offensive-minded coach. I feel like Clint Kubiak could be the guy, especially coming from his dad, Gary Kubiak, and the Shanahans and the system. I feel like that's the system we've been missing since 2016 when Kyle left us. I would love to have Clint Kubiak over here. Yeah. I love John Harbaugh, too. Very respectable, but I want Clint Kubiak.
There you go. Appreciate the phone call. That's Johnny from Jonesboro. I will say this. When I used to watch Gary's offenses, I can't for the life of me remember who the left tackle was when he was down in Houston. But boy, oh boy, you want to talk about somebody that could run wide zone to an empty side, like to a nub, to a Jake Matthews side, and allow and understand establishing leverage with the helmet on the outside of the shoulder pad of the defensive end. Gosh, it was so fun to watch when they had Arian Foster, that whole group rolling over there. Even, I remember, who's the Auburn runner? Ben Tate, I think they had for just a little bit. Oh, God, that was so fun to watch. That's a family that understands the concepts behind some of the pieces we have in place. Let's try to get one more in here. Let's go out to DB. DB's in Atlanta. DB, what's going on?
Hey, man. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm kind of hanging on the fence with the whole Harbaugh thing. For me, I mean, Clint Kubiak would be a great candidate, but it's, to me, we've been on the search of, you know, the hot coordinator. We thought Arthur Smith was going to be that hot coordinator.
True.
You know what I'm saying? We've kind of been through those searches of leaning towards one side of the ball for head coaches. Now I'm kind of feeling like Harbaugh might be the best choice, because we just need that leader of men. You know, sometimes you just need a stabilizer and a leader of men, and I feel like we haven't had that type of head coach.
That's a good point.
Like, and that's the only reason I'm on the fence about it, is because, I mean, these coordinators, they're hot at the time, but, you know, a lot of coordinators don't make good head coaches. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I completely agree with what you're talking about.
Well, every head coach at one point in time was a coordinator. I mean, even John Harbaugh, he was just a special teams coordinator. People forget. But look, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Raheem Morris was a leader. Those guys, the team not quitting on Raheem Morris when they're out of the playoffs in December and they just got blown out on their home field to Seattle and going to Tampa Bay on a short week and essentially being one of the teams that not helped knock the a team that had a chance to win the division out.
Yeah.
That shows leadership. We've had leader men. Now we got a guys that can do everything. And I don't know. I'm not anti-Harbaugh. I'm just telling you that I think it is time for something different, and the Kubiak could be it.
You'd like for us to find our Sean McVay.
Yeah, I don't want to go find a guy, you know. And look, if Harbaugh was Andy Reid or that type of coach where he was calling plays on one side of the ball,
yeah.
Boy, I would be doing this show on my phone on the way to Baltimore. I'd go find Zeno. I'm sure he's stalked Harbaugh and knows where he lives.
Identity, not credibility, Allie. I'm going to borrow that from Ice. I like that.
Write it down. Write it in pen.
I literally already did. Wrote it down.
Well, coming up, we knew something had to give with the Kirk Cousins situation, and his deal, in fact, was restructured. We'll break it down next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. 8:24, we are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Thanks for spending your morning with us. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. You can also join us the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo will fire up the grill, share his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. It's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix.
Speaking of tailgate at home, we do have a 3-day weekend coming up next week.
We do.
Holiday weekend, MLK weekend is coming up. That's always this. It's always that weird. It's like really quick to have a holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you focus so much of your time and energy on Christmas that you're like, oh gosh,
yeah.
Should I make plans in like a week and a half? I've been trying to figure out a plan to hang out with my family mm-hmm. and do something fun. I don't know if that's around town or if it's like a quick trip to Chattanooga, you know, do like the cave or whatever it is
up there.
Or something along those lines. But I'm curious if you guys got any 3-day weekend plans. That's usually your fallback. Where's the getaway?
We have not come up with any. I need to come up with something because I know Falcon season is over. So your weekends are open now, but spring training is right around the corner, and then I don't see my husband all of baseball season. I really don't.
You're sandwiched in there. You like whatever you want to do on the weekends, you've got to do in January,
or
February.
Yeah. Or in All-Star break, as long as it's not in Atlanta.
That's not true. You got to do something together during the All-Star break. This year, you guys went to everything together.
Well, we went to the All-Star game and like the village.
But you went to the village and watched Grant spend a bunch of money.
Oh my! That auction was terrifying. When he grabbed a number to start bidding on stuff, I think that's Bo. When you went home, I was like,
"Grant, we just bought a house."
I stood with you. I stood with you while he got his number because you had to like go through a process.
Yeah.
And then that rando turned around, that guy with no sleeves, and the guy looked like he was straight out of Tallapoosa, Georgia. And he turned around and started talking about something he got, and I was like, "Do you know me? Like, who are you?"
That was
nice
really
guy.
He
nice
saw
guy.
You and he was like, look at all my memorabilia.
Yeah, he's just like, look what I got. Can you believe this? And I'm like, nope, sure can't.
So if you have a crazy schedule, I mean, this 3-day weekend coming up, it is time to go ahead and get out of town for a moment.
Right. I mean, I just feel like it's like I don't even really want to. I just feel like I have to capitalize on it right now before like 2026 gets too crazy underway.
There is some train that rides up through North Georgia. It takes you up to like a little town and you get off at a stop.
Yes.
And you
does
go
that
to
leave
like,
from Blue Ridge?
I believe so. I want to do
like
that. That's what I would love
my
to do.
My son would kill to be on that train.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man. So maybe that's something I look at. Maybe it's just a day trip. Maybe it's just, you know,
you don't have to worry about
quick.
A hotel,
yeah,
pets,
something quick.
All that stuff.
Throw a movie
quick.
On in the Tahoe on the way up. Yeah.
Something to think
no
about.
No flat tires, but we do have the key just in case.
So yesterday news broke that Kirk Cousins' deal has been restructured. I think at first people thought this maybe meant that he was sticking around. I don't think that's necessarily the case. So what it means is the final 2 years of his contract have been modified. It includes reducing his 2026 salary from a non-guaranteed $35 million to just $2.1 million. That's the base salary. And then there is now a guarantee in the amount of $67.9 million for the 2027 season that vests March 13th. What does this ultimately do for the contract for the Falcons? How does this help them?
I mean, it kind of frees up money immediately for them to spend before June 1st, which is when he's going to be cut. That's all. Everything I've read, because initially I was like, well, maybe this gives them more time because I was wondering if there were, you know, anything that kicked in immediately at the start of the league year, because the March 13th is the third day of the league year. But apparently everything that I've read, Joel Corey, who joined Dukes and Bell yesterday, he's really good at the cap stuff. He's a former agent, so he kind of understands the workings of a contract. He basically said that this just ensures he's gone, which is good. It's an amicable split. And the other thing that's very important to kind of point out, I guess, is that no, Rich McKay didn't do this. Like yesterday with Kirk's agent, no, there's not like a random person that did this. Terry and really Chris Olsen did this. Who's the capologist? He's the one that does all this kind of stuff. But this was obviously something that they had been working on and was actually executed before the Saints game per league rules. So it was a smart move for everyone to kind of have a clean break. And that sets up the new Falcons regime to have, basically either sign someone who can either back up or spot start for Michael Penix.
What'd you say his name was? Chris Olsen?
Yeah, pretty sure that's it. Yeah, that's my
I was going to ask you, because you know more about the front office here in Atlanta than I do. The first name that popped in my head was Kyle Smith, because we were talking the other day about GM and whether or not that person is from inside the organization. I'm not sold that the new GM is not from inside the organization. We've seen Kyle Smith multiple times step in front of the podium, talk about some of the goings on with the contracts and things like that. Any chance that he played a role in that, or what's the difference between him and Chris Olsen?
Well, I mean, Chris Olsen is the one that negotiates contracts.
Sure.
He's the cap guy. He's your Like, just like we talked about the guys that are being interviewed for jobs, like Mike Disner from the Lions, right? He was there. He's been 19 years in the league, and some of his time was with the Cardinals. And when he was with the Cardinals, he's a lead contract negotiator, and he oversaw the strategic planning and management of the team's cap. Same with Brant Tillis, who did a very similar thing in the Chiefs when he was with the Chiefs, and now he's with the Panthers. But the front office is he was their cap analyst. So like Chris Olsen's the one that
analyst.
So remember Nick Polk?
Yes.
That's Chris Olsen.
Sure.
And so who negotiated your rookie deal?
Yep.
Nick Polk.
And with, my extension.
With your agent, right? Yep, and your extension. Who negotiated all of Matt Ryan's deals and some, like Nick Polk did. And that's who Chris Olsen is. And he's a nice dude. I've talked to him on the road a little bit. I need to, like, if he's still here moving forward, which I hope he is, I need to corner him one road trip and be like, dude, like, I need more on the cap. Because Nick Polk used to do it for me. Nick Polk would always come in to the radio booth and get the IFB to listen to the radio.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, man, what's this mean? Like, can you? And he would start talking, and he'd be like, you with me? And I'm like, yeah. That's why when we saw Nick at the OTA that time.
Yeah.
Like, we talked for a while. Cause he,
just before he took a job at Florida, right?
Yeah, and became the not that he doesn't have that job anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, moved out of the way quickly.
He was the GM job for a while before Dave Caldwell took it over when they got rid of Napier. But, no, like, that's how you learn stuff. You talk to these guys. So
is that where Dave Caldwell is now?
Yeah.
No kidding. I did not know that.
Yeah, that was the news when they hired Summerall.
Name came up a couple days ago. That's crazy.
He became the Falcons GM.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons. The Gators GM.
That's crazy. I did not know that. Good for him. I like that guy.
What is going to be the timeline on these roles being filled, do you think? Because at first, we all kind of thought maybe Matt Ryan would be sitting there tomorrow when Arthur speaks. But I'm not sure with these interviews happening, that's going to be the case. So when do you expect official announcements to come out?
I would expect that president role that you're talking about, I would expect that within a week, maybe sooner. And then I would think that you move on and do the GM shortly thereafter. I don't know for sure. That person, whoever fills that role in the next week, is going to have to explain further what the hierarchy kind of is and how they're going to go about this process. But there's still the head coach thing still to me is still a couple of weeks off. Okay. Especially, I mean, Clint Kubiak has a bye this week as a number one seed, the offensive coordinator. So that's going to be pushed off for some time.
Well, that's why you're talking to him this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. But the hiring of him and all that stuff coming down, if that's what your target really is, that's going to be for a while.
Yeah,
unless they lose out next weekend, I guess.
Because the guys that are playing this weekend can't be talked to until next week. I would probably think that you would like to have that announced by Saturday, or at least have it an agreement in place. That way, if you interviewed Clint Kubiak or Vance Joseph, who I think the Falcons have reached out to talk to, who's the DC of the Broncos, so you could kind of have that person could maybe be on it. Even then, I'm sure you could record the interview and hear some of the things or maybe pass along stuff.
And these are just little windows that are opening, right? Like Clint Kubiak, they can talk to this week, but then next week, no. Right?
Yeah.
Does that close and then it reopens?
I'm pretty sure it closes for him, and then there's another window that opens. If Seattle was to make it to the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure then the window would open that week of all of these guys that are left. But yeah, there's a window that opens. It's all done to part of it was because teams were basically just cheating the Rooney Rule. And hiring guys and it also helps with their playoff runs.
Well, whoever is handling those logistics at Flowery Branch, bless you.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. There's
a lot of moving parts there.
A lot of moving parts.
Whoever's scheduling the plane flights and the hotel rooms is up against
it. Or the Zoom.
Probably the firm. That's why firms are brought in, too, guys. As y'all know.
Well, coming up, there was also a game of telephone going on that spread around with Matt Ryan, what he wants his future to look like. We're going to help clarify that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. 8:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We do need to clarify the report about Matt Ryan wanting to split duties between the Falcons and CBS, because that got cleared up yesterday. But before I get there, it's the last time I'll bring up the show. On the show, maybe.
Oh, no.
The Stranger Things craziness.
What's the other world called?
The upside down.
Yeah, my bad.
So it's wrapping up. All this craziness is wrapping up. Obviously, we just had the finale. Jackson, Georgia is where a lot of the show was filmed. They actually held a vigil.
Okay.
They had 400 people attended this event to celebrate the finale. They had a vigil because it's like they're in downtown Hawkins, basically.
Were you there, Dylan?
I was not. I didn't even know that happened.
I mean, to me, that's...
Bo, were you there?
Where? In Jackson, Georgia? No.
Yeah.
Is that where the lake's at? Like, is there a lake down there, like Lake Jackson or whatever?
I'm sure there is a lake somewhere.
I don't know.
In Jackson, Georgia.
Yeah. Sounds right.
It's a sound bet, usually.
But that's where Hawkins, downtown Hawkins was. So they had this vigil. Now, up here in Atlanta, the Terra Theater. Have you guys been to this theater? Old school, has a bunch of lights all over it.
I have not.
Where is it? What part of town?
Where is it? Buckhead?
I feel like I've
so many people
I feel like I've
at
driven
us.
Past it.
I have driven past it,
but I can't think of where it is located. So, somebody's driving by right now going, idiots.
I know. They're like, it's right there. Or is it off Lindbergh? I don't know. Okay, so.
Is it close to Terra Boulevard? I don't know.
Terra
no, it's in Atlanta.
Theater, though, is where one of the final scenes was shot.
So yeah, I used to live over that way.
Couple characters, Dylan, you know, were in a theater at the end of the movie.
Yes.
So at the very end of the premiere of the finale, the manager of the Terra Theater came out and was like, FYI, seats F11 and F12, you are sitting in the seats where so-and-so were sitting. You have free tickets for the next viewing.
No, that's crazy. That's so cool.
I know. Amazing.
Why did you have to see the finale in the theater, or was it like an option?
It was an option. Yeah, it was just for funsies. But it technically wasn't even like a ticket. You bought a voucher for popcorn because it's Netflix, so they couldn't license it that way.
Yeah. So you basically bought a $20 food voucher.
Yeah.
Did you go?
Absolutely, I did. 8:30
on what theaters you go to?
Atlantic Station one.
Man, Regal. I keep seeing characters, like the actors pop up in all these random theaters. I'm like, why not me?
Why can't I pop up at the right one? Why can't it be the right one they're
because
at?
Because you get to go to dinners with, you know, Dale Murphy the governor and everybody else. So
yeah, what are you talking about?
Why don't you just get over yourself a little bit? You don't get everything, Allie.
That's true. Wow. You don't get everything.
Dylan, you don't get everything either. You went to New York on Broadway to see Stranger Things.
I paid money to go do that. I didn't get that for free.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that didn't get to do that.
That warrants a surprise visit more than just a random theater show.
The fact that you were willing to invest, I'd say I'd need a character to show up.
Yeah. I would go again, by the way. I would definitely go again. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. And one of the characters did show up, one of those, like 2 nights before you went.
Yeah, and of course I wasn't at that one. No, I just missed it.
Should have went earlier.
And the crazy part is we actually planned to go earlier, but, you know, the way things worked out, by the time we were actually getting the tickets, they were sold out. So.
Wah, wah.
Anywho.
Sad. Anywho, we got to clear up some rumors that went around because we were talking yesterday about how we did not want Matt Ryan, if he is going to be the president of football operations for the Falcons, to split his time between CBS and being the president. So Tom Pelissero put out a tweet yesterday. As the Falcons complete the process of hiring their new president of football, one point of clarity, my understanding is Matt Ryan would not continue working at CBS if and when he's hired. Ryan lives in the Atlanta area and intends to be all in on rebuilding the football operation.
As he should be.
Do you think, though, like Matt Ryan heard everyone saying, like, he can't split his time? And was like,
somebody definitely did, yeah.
Hey, Tom, I didn't say that. Tom, I didn't say that.
There's a layer in the middle there between Matt and Tom, and whoever that layer is, be it an agent or publicist or whatever else is going on, they definitely were like, dude, no, that's not going to happen. Why? And I theorized yesterday. I was like, why would you take on both roles? Like, I feel like there was a lot of pluses to taking this role in Atlanta, and they're all kind of erased if you're going to do both.
Yeah, I think also you got to be seen if you're the team president. I mean, or maybe Mr. Blank was like, no, you're going to sit next to me during games. I want to know what you know. I want to see what you see. Because that's always been a thing that's happened. You know, the team president sits in there with the GM.
Yeah.
And there's always, you know, well now the the CEO, which is Beatles, and the team president, and who will be whoever they hire, whether it's Josh Williams or Matt Ryan. I also don't know how that conversation went. I mean, I think that could have been something where, look, we all get stuff from sources, and with that source that Tom Pelissero got that from, was it like Bill Cowher sitting there and be like, hey, you going to do both? You still going to do this job? Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he says, I just don't know how the conversation went. I'm sure in a perfect world, I think the bigger question is he's still going to do his little podcast that he does with Zach Klein and Todd France and Aaron Donald.
That would have to stop, wouldn't it?
I don't think so. I think you could still do that. I think you would have to be, the problem is
very veiled.
Well, you couldn't say players' names.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to be very vague about how you talk about other players in an offseason anyways. I think you could talk about if your team you're playing. I think all of that would probably come to a screeching halt, which does suck because Matt is really good at getting to hear him do all that. And because he's – I don't know if you got to hear any of the Washington-Dallas game on Christmas Day, but he was one of the announcers.
Yeah.
And when everyone else would shut up and let Matt talk, it was pretty good. Like, it was good to hear him. And I think that part as a fan kind of sucks. But that said, I selfishly would love to have Matt Ryan being you want it to work out where he's maybe our John Lynch or our Chris Spielman or our you name it. There's been a couple others that have out there that have done it at a really high level. John Elway was the guy that did it. And won a Super Bowl. So
yeah, I'm with you. And you said, you know, this is a conversation Arthur had. I would say the podcast thing is definitely something that Arthur's probably like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
So many different ways that could be messed up. Right. And when you start having all these different conversations about what you can, can't say, how things can be messed up. And then especially with that kind of thing, like it's one thing when Tom Brady's making $25 million a year to be in a booth. It's another thing when it's just simply a podcast that you probably started doing for fun in the first place.
Well, and Tom Brady's role is an advisor, and I could see if the Raiders don't get this right, I could see Tom Brady saying, you know what, like, I'm taking this over. Like, this is now, I'm gonna become the president. Because I don't know. The thing was is when Matt Ryan got into it, when Tom Brady got into the TV stuff, I saw Matt Ryan's future in TV. I don't think Tom Brady's future is in TV. I think Tom Brady's future is in running an organization, because to me it just feels like that's what he really, really wants to do. I think because of the way he did it and how long he played and all that kind of stuff. But maybe I'm wrong.
Can I ask you guys what you're expecting out of tomorrow? I think maybe some expectations have shifted since we've seen a few more names pop up as candidates for the president of football operations for the Falcons. So who are you expecting to see tomorrow when Arthur speaks to the media at 11?
I'm expecting to see Arthur. That's it. Maybe Josh, but Arthur. Greg Beatles could be there now, I would assume, as well.
That
because
was the other one I was going
to
go with.
Because he's the CEO, and he's going to essentially have to, you know. But I don't expect to see Rich McKay. I expect to hear a lot of Rich McKay questions, because that is for whatever reason, there is a portion of the media that is just infatuated with the Rich McKay part of this and everything that he has or hasn't been in the organization for whatever reason. So I expect some of those. And I mean, I think there's going to be quite a few Matt Ryan questions and what they're looking for. And, you know, have you talked to Harbaugh, or that kind of stuff? Why are you having interviews without the president in place and the GM in place, which all that kind of stuff? That's kind of what I'm expecting. I don't really think we'll get any TGL questions or anything.
No, I'm expecting.
They won, by the way, last night.
State of the franchise.
Ding.
Yeah. I'm expecting somewhat of a state of the franchise tomorrow and an outlining of what the next few weeks holds, the processes that are held, and what the game plan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably a small look back, maybe one or two answers about Raheem, Terry, those conversations. But I'm with Bo. I expect it to be Arthur, Josh, maybe Greg Beatles, and, you know, sitting up there having those conversations about what went wrong, what the expectations were, what the expectations are, and how they're going to solve it over the next few weeks, and what the timeline is to put these pieces in place.
And I tend to believe that it will probably just be him and Greg. More and more I think about it. Like, when I heard you say it, I go, man, would he put Josh in that situation? Because what's going to happen is Josh is going to get a lot of questions. And it's going to be like, hey, are you in these decisions? Are you doing this?
Yeah, but that's something they could control, though, right? I mean, they could say, hey, Josh is not taking questions.
Well, then he's not sitting there. Can't sit at the table if you're not going to answer questions.
You've been around these way more than I have.
That would be an interesting way to start it. They're like, we'll take questions now, but not for Josh.
Josh is sitting next to me, but he's not answering questions.
I mean,
I just
wouldn't be the first time it's ever happened in the NFL.
Right.
Now, let me tell you something. I think Josh will be there. I think he'll be sitting in the front row. But I don't think you put him. The more I'm thinking about it, why would you put him in that situation? And because look, guys, the more voices, the more trouble could come from it, because the more that you could get mixed, you know, nobody speaks the same way. And so I might say something my way, and Mike might say something his way, and you say something your way. And one person, or you have three people listening, and all people heard everything we said differently. We might say it, the speed saying the same thing, but in our own way, and it's taken differently. And I just think you muddy the waters. We don't need so many people in a room answering the same questions. But one voice, the owner. Right now, the owner is the voice. Maybe the CEO. But I would, honestly, if I was running things, if I was the head PR guy of AMBSE, I would have Arthur and Arthur alone.
Yeah, I understand that. And I tend to agree. But I just think, and you asked why I have him up there. I think if the overall message of this press conference tomorrow is, hey, we're turning over a new leaf, then I think there's some symbolism that could come with Josh being a part of that conversation. Not saying that he's got to take questions or that he would. And I'm siding with you and saying I don't know that he'll be at the table. But if there's a reason why, that would be the reason why to me. Because the visual, we all thought about the visual 2 years ago when Terry wasn't at the Arthur Smith press conference, right? It was a bad visual. It looked terrible. If your message tomorrow is, hey, as a franchise, we're turning over a new leaf, Rich McKay is not sitting here, Greg Beatles possibly is not sitting here, and Josh is a part of that, I think visually it's like, okay, here's the succession plan being put into place.
My thing is if Josh is Arthur's the owner, and the succession plan is that Josh would take over in that Arthur role, right? It's the way we were led to believe.
Yeah.
Unless he's making the decisions right now, I just don't think it's fair to him. Because what happens is you open the door for him to get asked a question, and either Arthur want to protect him and start answering it for him. Well, no, that, you know, this, or Josh say something that maybe Arthur wants to add to or clarify, and now it kind of devalues that. I just think when the time comes, then Josh sits at the table and answers the questions when he's running it and he's set in. Because don't do anything to diminish his role moving forward in the eyes of people, because everyone's got a freaking narrative they want to spin when something goes wrong. And I think if you handle it wrong, it's just like you said with Terry. When Terry wasn't there, you diminish what people thought Terry's role was and who was making decisions.
Well, this meeting, this press conference is highly anticipated. I know on Monday when they said he'll speak Thursday, I was like, that's so far away.
How are we going to get there?
But now we're here. We're here. It's tomorrow. Well, that is going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
figure out who you would have sitting at that table.